नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द सेवेंथ कैंटो 14th चैप्टर 13th वर्स।
भस्मनिशान्तम् क्वेदं तुच्छं कलेवरम् क्वत्तदीयरतिर्भार्या क्वायं आत्मनभश्चदिः।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Through proper deliberation, one should give up attraction to his wife's body, because that body will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool or ashes. What is the value of this insignificant body? How much greater is a supreme being who is all-pervading like the sky? Purport. Here also the same point is stressed. One should give up attachment for his wife, or in other words, for sex life. If one is intelligent, he can think of his wife's body as nothing but a lump of matter that will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool or ashes. In different societies, there are different ways of dealing with the human body at the time of the funeral ceremony. In some societies, the body is given to the vultures to be eaten, and therefore the body ultimately turns to vulture stool. Sometimes the body is merely abandoned, and in that case, the body is consumed by small insects. In some societies, the body is immediately burned after death, and thus it becomes ashes. In any case, if one intelligently considers the constitution of the body and the soul beyond it, what is the value of the body?
Antavante mehe deha nityasyoktaha sharirinaha.
The body may perish at any moment, but the soul is eternal. If one gives up attachment for the body and increases his attachment for the spirit soul, his life is successful. It is merely a matter of deliberation.
Om Adya.
Translation. Through proper deliberation, one should give up attraction to his wife's body, because that body will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool or ashes. What is the value of this insignificant body? How much greater is the supreme being who is all-pervading like the sky?
Hare Krishna. So, before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees, senior devotees, Srila Prabhupada and the Supreme Lord. And obviously, you know, the translation is not an easy one to speak on. It's very hard-hitting, isn't it? So anyway, I will try to, though I have no realizations of this subject matter so much, but philosophically we'll try to discuss something. So basically, this verse, the theme of this verse is detachment from the wife, or for that matter, if you speak for a wife, it is a husband, because the physical form of the body is temporary, and we must develop attachment for the beauty of the Lord. That is the theme, basically. So what I will be speaking on basically today is that why this kind of attachment is bad. We'll take some examples of those who got attached and thus lost the opportunity to for spiritual life. We'll also then describe that what makes spiritual life so interesting, what is the beauty of the Lord. And finally, we'll take some examples of those who have transcended the physical attractions of this world and engaged in the service of the Lord. Okay, so why is this attachment so bad? Attachment to the physical form of the opposite sex, especially in household life, it is explained. There's a household section going on. Ideal family life, that's a section. So for a wife, the attraction is a husband, and for the husband, attraction is the wife, physical form. And obviously speaking about, you know, this verse is very hard-hitting. Speaking about condemning physical beauty is something which is a taboo in this world, isn't it? Where all the whole world is running behind the physical beauty of a man and a woman. And everywhere you see posters and everything about, you know, beautiful, attractive looking men and women with beautiful bodies and attractive faces and things like that. But where can we get a good inspiration from? But you know, especially the Mayavadi philosophers like Shankaracharya. So he says in this verse, यावत पवनो निवसति देहे तावत पृच्छति कुशलम गेहे, गतवती वायु देहा पाए भार्यां बिभ्यति कस्मिन काये। So he's speaking about a situation where a newly wedded couple, you know, they're very excited about their relationship, isn't it? And they use every opportunity to be, you know, having a private moments with each other. They don't like people to be around, many people they don't like to be in the private quarters of their home. But he says that as long as there is life here, it's there, it's true. But when the life leaves the body, gatavata vayu deha bai bharyam bibhyati tasmin kaye, that the same wife who was loving the husband, now she's afraid of the dead body of her husband. And then she opens the doors and windows and she says, come, everyone, all the neighbors, please come. I'm afraid to be with my husband. You've seen that, isn't it? We're afraid of our own relatives. That is the body, isn't it? If to come to think of it, you know, it's really irony of life that we live with people whom we love, we are serving them, but we have not even seen the person whom we are living with. Because the person is not the physical body, he's beyond the physical body. And this body is what? It's nothing but combination of, you know, flesh and things like that. Recently in my preaching attempts in one college, Somaya College, there was one student. I have not met him, but some other students were saying that his parents got shot in the terrorist attack, you know, in that New Bombay area. They were inside the house and they heard some bomb explosion, and they just came out of the window to see what's going on, what is the explosion. And when they came out, both husband and wife standing at the window, and the terrorists, they picked up their AK-47s and bang, 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 shot him. And some few bullets went through the head and through the bodies, and both husband and wife, within a few seconds, they were dead. So I asked those boys, how was it to... So they said, we were so frightened. And I asked that boy, how was it, you know, what you felt when your father and mother expired in a moment? He said, it was such a horrible sight. Because when the bullet, when it went through the head, it came out from the other side of the head, and how a pumpkin explodes, you know. It was an explosion with all the brain matter spread all on the house. And he said, my own father, I was like, you know, I was hesitating. It was picking up the parts. That's the body, isn't it? I mean, you love your near and dear ones, but you don't like to see your near and dear ones in such a situation. Is it not? So the thing is, that is the irony of life. That, you know, that this physical body is temporary. And in spiritual life, in contrast to the material life, we are always reminded of this fact that we are Atma, we are not the physical body. Don't look at the body so much. It's good if you have a beautiful body, it's nothing wrong in that. We can use it in Krishna's service, but ultimately we have to know that we are all superficial. Then he says, what is the problem by being attached to the physical aspect of the body? He says, Balastavat Krida Saktaha Taruna Stavat Taruni Saktaha Vridhastavat Chinta Saktaha Pare Brahmani Kopina Saktaha. One's childhood is lost by attachment to playfulness. Youth is lost by attachment to women. Old age passes away by thinking over many past things, but there is hardly anyone who wants to be lost in the Supreme. And he says, Bhagavad Gita Kinchida Dhita Ganga Jalalava Kanika Pita Sakrid Api Yena Murari Samarcha Kriyate Tasya Yamena Charcha. Let a man read but a little from the Gita, drink just a drop of water from the Ganga, worship Murari just once, he then will have no meeting with Yamaraj. That is his message which he gives us. So basically, that's what happens. That in the attraction for the superficial aspect of the body, one gets tempted. It's a distraction, certainly. It tempts one to engage in sense gratification. And that is a distraction, certainly. So the basic principle of material attachment is explained in the fifth canto. Pumsaha striya mithuni bhavametam tayor mitho hridaya granthi mahu अथो गृह क्षेत्र सुताप्त वित्तेर जनस्य मोहयम अहम ममेति. I'll read out the translation exactly. The attraction between male and female is a basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So this is the, again, I would say the irony of life, that, you know, the most relishable things of this world are actually the attachments and obstacles on the path of spiritual life. So we have seen in history, in the Puranas, there are various examples. Even in the Christian religion, in the Bible, New Testament, we read in the 11th century BC, there was a Samson, Delilah, is it not? I mean, a very powerful man, Samson, capable of killing thousands and thousands of soldiers single-handedly, and who had strangled a lion, you know, with his fists, and who had destroyed thousands of soldiers with the jawbone of an ass. Just with the jawbone of an ass. He was so powerful that he defeated the whole army. But how did this great personality, a very strong personality, give in or was overcome? He was overcome by Delilah, the one whom he loved very much. And because he was so powerful, it is explained that he was born with some mystic siddhis, he was empowered and he had long hair, and it was proclaimed that this person will be a very powerful man, but provided no blade touches his hair. So no one knew the secret. So the Philistines, you know, the opposing army with whom he was fighting, or whom he was rivaled with, they wanted to find out what is the source of his strength. So they bribed Delilah, his girlfriend, and then she would secretly ask him, what is the source of your strength? And then he would say, well, it's, you know, in this, if I'm tied with some straws, I will lose my power. And then she tried it. She deceived him. And she called the Philistines. But every time they would come, he would be very powerful, just defeat all of them. But finally, out of his weakness, he revealed his secret, that my power is in my hair. If anyone cuts off my hair, I lose my power. So then finally, he lost. He was captured. They cut off his hair. And they tortured him, humiliated him. And they kept him in prison for many years. But they didn't know actually that, unaware, his hair was growing back. So his hair grew back. And when they took him out in a public procession in order to humiliate him, you know, in an assembly of 3,000 people, it is explained that he was tied to two pillars. And there were 3,000 of the Philistines whom he was a rival. He pushed the pillar and the whole castle or whatever they were sitting in, the whole thing came down and all 3,000 people were killed along with himself. He also was destroyed. So, this is the power of illusion. I mean, if he would have been strong and he would not have given in to his weakness, he would have kept his secret and he could have survived. Similarly, even in spiritual life, there are obstacles of attachment. We have seen that in the Mahabharata, story of Pandu, isn't it? Pandu, who is the father of the Pandavas, and it is explained that even though he was a great king, he was completely detached from family life. And he was more inclined towards living in a forest, you know, towards asceticism and towards practice of religious principles, dharma. And it's explained that he left his kingdom and he established an ashram where he would live in the forest. And Dhritarashtra was ruling in his place. And what happened? One day while he was going for hunting, he saw two deers mating. So he shot the arrow and he killed them. But he did not know those two deers were rishis, Kindama Rishi. So when the rishi was dying, he cursed Pandu. He said, Pandu, just as you have killed me while I was engaged in, you know, relationship, loving relationship with my wife in the form of a deer, so also you will not be able to enjoy material sense pleasure. And the time when you will be procreating, at that time you will meet with your death. So when Pandu heard that, he immediately took a vow of celibacy. He said, this is good for my spiritual life, isn't it? And he took a vow that I will not engage in any more materialistic activity. I will renounce anger altogether. I will give charity to the Brahmins. I will live a life of asceticism and brahmacharya just like my brother Bhishma. And for many, many years he was practicing Krishna consciousness, spiritual life. But finally, his two wives, Kunti and Madri, when he was alone with his wife, he submitted to his passion and engaged in the act which led him to his death. When he was uniting with his wife, met with his death. Even though he knew that, this will be my death. He knew it, that he will die if he engages in such an activity. So this is the power of illusion, the power of the opposite sex attraction. That even though we know it, still, and great personalities like Pandu, who was not much attracted to material life, but still tempted to engage. So there are other examples, like Vishwamitra, who is a great sage performing tapasya for 60,000 years nearly, isn't it? For many, many thousands of years, finally by the tinkling of the ankle bells of, he gave in practices. So, this is the obstacle for a person who is on the path of Hare Krishna. So, it is not just for a grihastha that a wife can be an attachment, actually. It's for anyone and everyone. In fact, even for those who are in the renounced order of life, for them also it can be an attachment. Like, it's really amazing that recently, when the group of boys who came from UK, sabbatical boys, they were telling me an incident of a true thing which took place in London, Manor Temple. There was a girl who was born, and it seemed that she had a memory of her past life. So she was interviewed, and she spoke to some of the devotees, and she said that in her past life she was a brahmachari. And she was living in the temple in UK. She was a Western-bodied brahmachari. And he died in a car accident, something like that. He died in a car accident. And he was reborn as to an Indian family, born in a female. So he said, she revealed that in a past life, even as a brahmachari, he had an affection for a particular girl. And he was contemplating. So she felt a kind of urge to go and meet that girl, because she was very young at that time. And it seems that she went and actually knocked on the door, and she opened, and that girl opened the door. She was amazed. Why she was amazed? Because the face of that girl resembled her own face. And she immediately remembered the shloka from the Gita. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajantyante kalevaram tam tam evedi kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavitaha. So whatever you're thinking at the time of death, that state of being you will achieve in your next life. I mean, it's a serious thing, You're laughing, but it's a very grave point. It doesn't really matter. Anyone can be attached, you see. So, when I heard this, I became alarmed. I said, my God, isn't it? It's a true thing. It's happened. And it seems she's going from place to place giving seminars on this thing. No, it's a fact. And not only that, she was getting married, and she was getting married to a Western-bodied devotee, and the parents were saying, why are you doing like this? You should marry in the community, or it's like, what are you talking, all this bodily consciousness? In my past life I was a Westerner, this life I'm an Indian. What difference it makes, It's like, the bodies. What are these bodily talks? She's saying, I should not marry like that. Anyway, so the beauty is truly an attraction. It's certainly a distraction. Of course, materially, if one wants to enjoy materially, it's amazing. There's no doubt about it. But if one wants to progress on the path of spiritual life, then it could be an obstruction. And there is this story of Dhanudhar and Ramanujacharya. Dhanurdas, isn't it? Like Dhanurdas, as you know, Ramanujacharya in Sri Rangam was following the procession of Ranganath. And he was following the procession, and he saw that this Dhanurdas, this person who was holding an umbrella, about this about this one girl. And he was constantly looking at her and, you know, fanning her and, you know, doing all this kind of seva. And Ramanujacharya was disgusted. He said, what is this? The procession of Ranganath is going and this person, this foolish person, is ignoring the procession and he's serving this. Call this person. So some of the disciples went and called this Dhanurdas. And Ramanujacharya asked him, that why are you doing like this? Why are you serving that girl? This Ranganath's procession is going and you are... So he was honest to proclaim his heart. He said, look, I am a slave of beauty. I have never seen more prettier eyes than this girl. She really has pretty eyes. And, you know, I just can't... I'm just a slave. So Ramanujacharya, he told him that if I show you eyes which are far more prettier than her eyes, will you become a slave of that person? He said, why not? Of course. Certainly. So then he took him to the Ranganath temple, and by the grace of Ramanujacharya, he could actually see the beautiful eyes of Ranganath. And by seeing that, his obsession with his, you know, so-called girlfriend was finished. But then Ramanujacharya got him married with her and settled him. So going to show that material attraction can be transcended only by a positive spiritual attraction. For that we need the blessings of Guru and Gauranga. It's very difficult otherwise to overcome attachment. It's very difficult, extremely difficult. Just like if you're going for a movie, you know, many years ago I went for a movie. It was like a 3D movie, you know, many years ago. 3D, three-dimensional movie. Now you go in a movie, a three-dimensional movie, you can't see anything on the screen without the specs. Yeah? And then when someone hands you the specs, then you can see everything distinctly. Not only distinctly, you can see in three-dimension. So just like that, the Guru and Gauranga, by the grace of those great personalities, one can actually get those eyes, the vision, to see the Supreme Lord's beauty. Otherwise, it's impossible. So there are examples in the Shastras of how devotees, they make that right choice. Example is Rukmini. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a conversation between Krishna and Rukmini. And, you know, it is explained that Krishna is trying to, tease Rukmini by telling her that, why did you marry me? You know, I don't have anything. I ran away from the battlefield, isn't it? I ran away from the battlefield. See, I'm a coward. And Shishupal was in love with you. He was so lusty for you. In fact, he could have, done so much for you. I am a detached householder. I have no attraction for wife. I am a vairagi. And not only me, all my devotees also become vairagis. He said, you know, I don't know. No one knows that what my caste is. Whether I am born in a Vaishya family or I am born in a Kshatriya family. I left my father, Nanda Maharaj. And everyone thought I will marry Radharani. But I left the Vajbasis, I left them also. So I don't know, no one knows actually what my, you know, I'm unsteady, my mind is unsteady. So, you know, it's better off if you could now find a better husband and choose someone else. All those kings are better than, and I'm not even a king actually. I'm in Dwarka, but I am not the king. Even Mathura, I'm a murderer of my own uncle. I killed my own uncle. See what character I have. Better you find someone else. So Rukmini was bewildered actually, because she had matured age and she had children who were already married. And at that time, divorce was unheard of. You know, there's no such word as divorce in the Vedic literatures. So she was bewildered. You know, she's thinking, what kind of a proposal is that? And then she speaks some very interesting verses. We'll just read that. It's very nice. She says, Kanyam Shrayeta Tava Pada Saroja Gandham Agraya San Mukharitam Janatapa Vargam. So, in brief, I'll tell you the translation. The aroma of your lotus feet, which is glorified by great saints, awards people liberation and is the abode of Goddess Lakshmi. What woman would take shelter of any other man after savoring that aroma? Since you are the abode of transcendental qualities, what mortal woman with the insight to distinguish her own true interest would disregard that fragrance and depend instead on someone who is always subject to terrible fear? Then she says, O infallible Krishna, let each of the kings you named become the husband of a woman whose ears have never heard your glories, which are sung in the assemblies of Shiva and Brahma. After all, in the household of such women, these kings are just like asses, oxen, dogs, cats, and slaves. So we can see that Rukmini made the right choice. You know, Arjuna made the right choice. Krishna said, what do you want? You want the army or you want me? Arjuna said, I want you. She made the right choice. Rukmini was also made to choose. Powerful kings. And here was a mendicant in one sense. Krishna was in one sense compared to all the other mendicants having nothing. But Rukmini chose Krishna. So that is a choice that we have to make. To keep Krishna as the center of the house. To keep Krishna as a priority in our house. And that is the ideal family life. So there's a beautiful wife or a beautiful husband. It is there, it's all right, but one must be focused on the serving Krishna in a house. Husband is serving Krishna, husband is serving Guru, wife is serving the husband, children are brought up in Krishna consciousness. And that is a perfect ideal family life. So the priority in a house should be service to Krishna. Service to the Lord, service to the Vaishnavas. And then that house can actually truly be called an ideal family life. We can see that in the life of a great acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had 10 children. Now anyone would be tempted to ask a question. What business does an acharya have in producing 10 children? But we can understand that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a liberated soul. So therefore, devotees explain that his example was given. He set an example for all of us to follow. An example by which we can understand that even if you have 10 children, you can still practice spiritual life. No one can be so busy to practice that he doesn't have time to practice. You can see in the life of Gaur Mohan Day, in his house, Srila Prabhupada would say that from his childhood he would hear all great saints coming, visiting, and they would be serving guests. Morning till evening. So this is what is spiritual life. Is it not? That priority of the house should be service to the devotees, service to the Lord. So that is grahastha ashram, an ideal family life. There's nothing wrong in that. Perfect. It's very good. Ideal family life. But these days we don't find that. Therefore we have to speak like it. Like especially, I'll tell you an example. Once you were going in a train, okay, from Pune to Bombay or something like that. So on the way somewhere in Lonavala, the train got stuck up. 5 hours delayed. What to do? So I had a mridang with me and I was tapping the mridang. I was playing. I was chanting softly, very softly in our group. There were 6 people and we were doing soft kirtan, very soft. So one lady, householder lady, a modern lady, she said, oh, stop that racket. I looked at her and I said, what? I mean, what's the problem? I said, the train is halted and we are feeling frustrated. On top of that, your noise and everything. We are responsible citizens. I said, what do you mean? We are irresponsible. We are responsible citizens and you're chanting this. You're making me crazy. Driving us crazy. I said, no, I'm not driving. We said, we are all chanting. We are all enjoying it. You're getting upset. It's not, and we are chanting softly. What's the problem? So no, stop it. I said, no, we are not chanting film songs, we are chanting God's names here, we are following religious principles here, what should be the problem? So no, stop it immediately. So I said, no, this is too much. I said, so then I stepped up the volume. I stepped up the volume and started banging the mridang and singing very loudly. Very loudly. Then what happens? I was frustrated. She starts getting up. And she's with her husband and a child and everyone. Grasta. Not a grasta. I should not say grasta. So she was wild. She was screaming at her. Stop it. She's acting crazy. And she's looking here and there. And then what happens? In the background, because there are other passengers, right? And they're seeing what's happening. Yeah, and they all start clapping. You know, in sync with our kirtan. And she's also hearing, what is this going on? And she gets up and she looks back and all the people of the train, they're supporting us, you know, in our kirtan. And she's saying, Hare Krishna, they're all chanting. Because they know that we are on the path of dharma. What's wrong with this lady? She's gone crazy or what? That girl, she couldn't tolerate it, that lady, you know. She said, how could this, what's happening here? Everyone is supporting this Hare Krishna. She got fretting and fuming. She left that place and she went somewhere else and she sat down. So, you know, I mean, what a point that I'm trying to make is that this is, not a family life where you oppose religious principles. It's one thing to serve devotees. Another thing is to be opposed to sadhus and the chanting of the holy names. So this is not household life. This is not. You know, recently I went on a yatra to Vrindavan. So while we were going in the taxi, I had to get off at Bombay Central. I had a 500 rupee note and I didn't have any change. So the taxi wala said, 500 rupee note, how can I give you change? I don't have so much money. So I got off, met other taxi men, and there were about 4 or 5 taxi men who were standing there. And I said, Bhai Saab, thoda chutte, some change please. I requested, humbly requested. So one man, taxi wala was facing me, he immediately saw me and he immediately took out his pocket. So other taxi wala are saying, what are you doing? You're getting changed or gone crazy or what? So he said, Nene, sadhu hai. He's a holy man. So, you know, so then the other people looked at me and he said, sadhu hai. Phir to note check kar. Note check kar. Counterfeit hoga. He said, must be counterfeit note. Then you should check the note if he's a sadhu. And as if that was not enough, each one of those taxi men took the 500 rupee note and is holding up in the air. Just, you know, so that they show me that he wants to insult me so heavily. And then the next guy took it. And then he's seeing it in the air. And he's looking at me. And then the third guy, and then finally he came to the third. And that taxi man, he gave me the change nevertheless. So this is what it is. I mean, all of them are appearing like middle-aged people, married and household life. But that is certainly not at all inspiring, isn't it? So that is what it is. This is not household life. This is not married life. Once I went home, you know, I went to visit my aunt once. Another incident. So, I mean, recently, I was invited, all brahmacharis are invited by devotee, Ramuran. So, devotee who lives here. So, he invited us, Grastha devotee. I mean, the way they fed us, you know, so amazing. You can understand, even though they have a very modest house, small accommodation, but still the heart is so big. The prasad that they had made is so wonderful, so much of love and devotion, so much of affection they served us, that we're feeling so overwhelmed by that experience. On contrast, we can see that that is an ideal grastha life. So when we see the life of a devotee, we can actually see the philosophy come alive, what it means to be a devotee. Many of our grasthas also, they come, they do so much of service. Morning till evening, they attend Mangala Arati. They made the temple a home. It's one thing to make your home a temple, but many householders have actually made the temple a home. It's one step further. So that is an ideal household life. Isn't it? I mean, even I was thinking when I went for a breakfast prasadam on a Sunday to his house, I was thinking that even my relatives have not done, my materialistic relatives have not served me like that. I once went to my relative's place and after many years I met her, she was my auntie, and the television was on. And I sat there and still while I was sitting there, she's talking to me, oh, how are you, everything nice? Oh. And after some time she's still looking at the television. And I was feeling in my heart that, my God, just see, I feel like I'm unwanted, I'm not required here. Felt like, you know, that program is more important. So I was thinking that how to serve guests and everything, we can learn from our devotees. It's really an amazing experience. Also, we can see from many devotees, like since I've been going to CBD Belapur, you know, I'm going to, we serve at, we go to the house of Vamshidhar Prabhu. We can see in his house itself, you know, a house which he's made it into a temple. Every inch of that wall, he has filled it up with photos of Radha Krishna. It's like more like an exhibition, it's wonderful. I mean, I'm saying in a positive sense, you know, it's like amazing. Every inch of the house is flooded with photos of small deities of Radha Krishna. He has more collection of the deities and photos than even our matchless gift does. I tell Narayan Prabhu, you don't have a good collection. If you want good collection, you should go to Vamshidhar Prabhu's house. Excellent collection. So much so that after the program, we did a program there, and after the program, there was another program of what? Showing his house, showing Vamshidhar Prabhu's house. That was a program. Everyone would go to the house and would just see the house. Oh my God, this is a house. He's spellbound. He's never seen a house like this. Every part of the house filled with photos of Krishna everywhere. You cannot forget Krishna there in that house. Impossible. And the deities, the altar and everything, the way they are serving devotees. And any brahmachari who have gone to the house, of course there are many such grahasthas in our congregation. But since I'm dealing with him, so I don't have many experience with other grahasthas. But we can see that is an ideal grahastha life. Is that we have to learn how it is to serve devotees, how to make your home into a temple. And that is the secret of a happy, ideal grahastha life. So this is very important. Because otherwise, there can be pitfalls. It's very difficult. Because there are always temptations in houses, in homes. In the comforts of your home, there are always temptations. Always temptations. And there's tendency to fall down. When I visited my parents at home, I was visited by some guests. And the television was on, National Geography. So I was looking and the guests had come. And the same thing happened to me. You know, I was tempted to look what's going on in the television, National Geography. And my father is telling me, switch off the television. Guests have come. And I was thinking in my mind that, my God, see the power of Maya, that after 10 years of living in the ashram, I need to be told by my father that I should switch off the television. Guests have come. The basic etiquette of... And I was thinking in my mind that what is the lesson that Lord is trying to teach me? And then I was thinking that how Maya is so powerful, that we have to be so careful that any time we may slip into illusion. Temptations are so strong. Illusions are very strong in this world. And the greatest illusion is in the form of attraction to the opposite sex, as it is explained here. And we can see in the lives of Srila Prabhupada also, when he was going to get married, you know, his father had arranged a marriage girl for him. But he didn't like that girl. He had plans to marry someone else. But his father said that if you are not attached to your wife, that is good for you. It's good for your spiritual life. Because in childhood, it was predicted that at the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada would be a great acharya. So his father proposed that. And he took it very seriously out of respect for his father. And he took up. And he got married. So, therefore it is explained that sometimes attachment to one's wife and family can be a big obstruction. Because it can be really an obstruction. You know, in our recent preaching program, I went to one room in an MBA hostel. And there is a boy from Delhi who, whenever I go, he would receive me very warmly. Oh, yes, yes, come Prabhu, please sit. And he would give me a seat and all. But the moment I would speak about Gita, his face would cringe and he would open the internet and he would, you know, be checking the internet. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Ah. And then he would be checking the net. And I was thinking that, and I was tempted to ask him that, your parents have never taught you any religion or what? How can you behave like this? When the moment I speak about Gita, you look towards your internet and your Yahoo and everything. I mean, what is in Gita that repels you so much? You know, you are born in India and everything. How are you behaving like? What is the problem with you? So immediately he got affected. Oh, no. My parents have given me a lot of culture and all. You know, we have always been trained up to respect sadhus and everything. It's not a problem. I said, why are you against the Gita? I mean, I speak general things. I speak about business and economic development, and you're very alert. Speak about Gita and things like that. You look into your Yahoo. What is the problem? He said, no. You know, I've got other experiences with religious people who are not very, who are very greedy and things like that. I said, that's all right. But why are you abandoned religion per se? So therefore, we've seen that people are failing to hand over the traditions to their children. He has abandoned his religion. He has abandoned his traditions. And what traditions will they hand over to, he hand over to his children? And gradually you see the traditions are dying off, Vedic traditions are dying off. So people are going to suffer. And end result is going to be what? Misery. End result is going to be misery. So therefore, it's very important to remember these very important principles. That we give our children, we make our house into a temple, preach to our family members, make them into devotees, inspire each other in Krishna consciousness. Knowing well that a house can be a trap if one is not careful. And the best way to remain Krishna conscious in family life is to always sincerely and dedicatedly chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.